We left off last week. We were talking about the Machlekes HaRishonim, about Menar Talisa. The Gemara says that if a person shakes out their talis from something, and the something was unclear, so they're going to be chayev, and the Malach, the Yichayev, was unclear. Otherwise, everything else was clear. We're just not sure what you're doing, we're not sure why Yichayev. So we had a three-way Machlekes HaRishonim, Rashi and Taisa and the Rabbim. So Rashi said that you're being Menar Talisa from the Ofar, from the dust that's on the, it's on your clothing, or on your hat, or anything that's collected dust. So Rashi says, just the mere shaking off of the dust, brushing off the dust, is an issa deraisa, and it's an issa deraisa of malabin, of washing, of laundering. Taisus found that impossible. I said, how could you be over libud without some kind of a liquid that's actually aiding in the cleaning? So Taisus said, it means that there's some kind of a liquid on it. What kind of a liquid? Tal, but not at least a bit of tal. A guy walks into the house in the early mornings and he realizes that he has some dew all over his moisture, all over his clothing. And he tries to shake it out. So the process of shaking out that's going to clean the garment, that's considered to be the malacha that the Gemara is referring to. So both according to Rashi and according to Tosus, we're talking about malacha as malabein. We're just not sure whether we're talking about there's actually a liquid there or not. And the Rambam learns a totally different shot. The Rambam learns that we're not even talking about malabin, we're talking about bach v'patish. We're talking about shaking off some of the stuff that's left over in the garment that's there for the process of making the garment. So just the shaking it off is the gemar ha-malacha, that's the final touches of the garment, and that's an isser of bach v'patish. So we have three different possibilities. The major machlekes in Rashi and everybody else was, can you have malach of liba without a liquid? According to Rashi, the answer was yes. According to Tosfos and the Rambam, the answer was absolutely no. So we pointed out at the end of the shiur last week that even according to Rashi, who says that you can have a libur without a liquid, doesn't always say that. Even Rashi concedes that if you try to take out a stain, and rather than using a liquid, you try to scrape it away with your fingers or something, so that Rashi himself says in a different context in Shabbos would not be a nisa deraisa. So when Rashi said that you could be over libun without a liquid, that means only something like dust, which is darka b'kach to remove without a liquid. But something which leaves a stain behind, so if you're just going to try to rub it off without putting water on it, there's no way that can be labeled as libun. But putting aside that detail, Rashi does hold that there is shayach, a concept of libun, albeit without any liquid, without any cleaning agent. How do we paskin l'alocha n'shayla? Do we follow the view of Rashi, this chumra of Rashi, that you can have libum without a liquid, or do we follow Taisus and the Rambam, quote, conventional wisdom, that short of some kind of a liquid there's not going to be any issur of a libum whatsoever. So the Shulchan Aruch is mekel of the shaila. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the sheet of Taisus, which is probably the view of most of the Rishonim, that it's inconceivable for libum to be violated without a liquid. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din of Menar Talisa, he quotes it as Menar Talisa Menatal. He quotes Rabbi Nachmanal in Taisa's version, not Menar Talisa Menatal, but rather Menar Talisa Menatal, which would leave us to believe that according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's Heta Gomor, you shake off dust. The person has dust on his hat, dust on his suit, you take a brush, you mamash rub it off, doesn't shake it off. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong at all, not Menatar, not Menatar, with shaking off dust on Shabbos. But the Ramah is Machmer, and this the Ramah quotes Yesh Omrim, which is Ashitas Rashi. And the Ramah recommends that one should try to follow this view. So therefore, the Rishonim write that lechatchila we try to follow this view. It's a shava deraisa. According to Rashi, you're dealing with the potential deraisa. So therefore, we try to follow this view of Rashi lechatchila. Even within the sheet of Rashi and the Ramah who's machmir for Rashi, this is only as osur as the case in the Gemara itself. Remember last week when we quoted the Din Menar Talisa, where the old Rashi's pshat, Tosfos Shad, the Rambam's pshat, the Gemara put the brakes on it. The Gemara said it's only osur if a person is machbid, if a person really cares about it. If a person has a little bit of dust on his white shirt and doesn't really care too much about it, then it wouldn't be a problem. If he has dust on his black suit that and he really cares about it, that would be a problem. We mentioned last week, why should that make a difference? Whether you personally care about it make a difference? So according to the Rambam, that made a lot of sense, because according to the Rambam, the malacha was makbe patish. So makbe patish depends very much on the person's kavana. Even according to Rashi and Taisus, we were able to explain that certain types of libun, things which are not objective libun, we gave some of the mishalim from last week, Shriyasa Zer Kibuso, that whenever you're dealing with something which is not an absolute outright libun on its own right, maybe dependent upon what the person's intent is. So even if we're going to be machmir for Rashi, the way the Ramah is machmir, not to rub off dirt, not to shake off dirt, not to brush off dirt on Shabbos, that's only going to be true if the person has machmir on it. How much is machmir? So machmir, the pasha in the Gemara is that the person really wouldn't want to be walking around with that dust all over his garment. So Bizman HaZeh, we are probably more machpid than they were in the olden days. In the olden days, things tended to get dirty, and the houses were much dirtier, everything was much dirtier, people's bodies were dirtier, so people didn't care that much. So unless there was an awful lot amount of dust there, you probably weren't going to be too careful about it. Today, a person walks into shul, he's wearing a black suit, he gets some dust on his suit, so the first thing he's going to do is rub it off. Well, let's say a person's hat falls on his head, it's nice, a black hat falls onto the floor, he gets some dusty, he's going to go run quickly, you know, right away. You know, Friday afternoon, the last thing I do before I go down to shul is I brush off a hat. So people are much more machbid on keeping, especially dark clothing, people are much more machbid bizman hazeh. So if we're going to be machmir for Rashi and the Ramah, that we're going to refrain from removing even dust, forget about dew. Most of us don't have the towel shilas. Most of us aren't up early enough in the morning to have towel on their clothing. But for those of us who do get dust on our hats and on our suits, so we should probably be machmir bizman hazeh to be chashish that we aren't really machmir. Most of us are probably machmir on our dark clothing. So therefore, the correct practice is one really should not be brushing off one's hat on Shabbos, when, even with just a little bit of dust, one shouldn't be rushing it off. A little bit of dust falls on one's suit, one should just leave it. One really shouldn't be brushing or shaking or doing anything to remove the dust. Again, those who are doing it are relying on the Shulchan Aruch, relying on the Tosfos and the Rambam. That's a different issur. It's only with the liquid, it's only with the Tzubach B'Patish. But L'chatchila, the Ramah does quote the view of Shittas Rashi.
You remove something that's actually...
Oh, so removing is a different story. We have to get to that. That's when it comes to stains. Stains are a different story. Here we're talking about just dust.
But like a thread.
Oh, okay. So if it's something, well, thread's a tricky one. You mean a thread that's
not matching
right,
thread.
I mean, something just fell onto it. Yeah, something that's just sitting on top of it is not a problem at all. Right? Dust is at least a little bit absorbed into it. I remember when, years ago when I was a bacher, so I used to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Chivas Tells in Riverdale. So when it came time for Korim, so they used to give out paper bags, loads and loads of shopping bags. So they would give out the 150 paper bags, everybody they could bow down Korim one, and they would collect them, recycle them for the next day, and then recycle them probably for the groceries the next week. So they would use the problem with the paper bags was, I don't even think they have them anymore in the supermarkets, but the problem with the old paper, those brown bags, they're like dusty-ish. I mean, when you touch them to your suit, they get all the junk on it gets onto your suit. So I remember every year they used to have the same problem, that there were 150 boys with full Korim, and they would all get up and then see that their suits were full of dust. I recommended once to one of the Reveim. I said, maybe we should think of a different plan. I said, here in Yom Kippur, everyone's shaking off their suits. A lot of the boys didn't know the Ramah, the Rashi, Chagas of Rishon in Yom Kippur, the Shabbat, the Reis in Yom Kippur. So we should go up with a different Eitzes. I haven't done it in a long time. I'm not sure. Even someone came up with a better idea since then.
Huh? They
use
the paper towel.
Yeah. Now they use paper towels. Oh, you've dominated. Okay, now they use paper towels. Okay. But in the old days, I remember the days back in Tells in Europe, back in Tells in Brazil, they used to use the paper bags. I think the Berg boys' job is to hand out tail towels and collect them on Inshul. Whenever I get to this sheet, this Rashi, and this Ramah, so I'm always reminded that I have a special Akaras HaToy for this Rashi, because this Rashi was instrumental in my meeting my wife. So I wonder what in the world is Rashi about Menar Talisa and meeting my wife. It's a short story, bear with me. I guarantee you that you'll remember the shir better because you're going to remember the story better. That would happen. This goes back before my Tells days even. This goes back when I used to learn B'chavus with Avram Willick, one of Rabbi Willick's sons. Many, many years in Marsha Kolo. I used to learn. He was my younger bacher, high school chavrusa. So I think before he was in high school, I used to learn with him. Many, many years. We learned from 7:30 to 8:30. So we used to also learn on Shabbos afternoon. We learned for an hour on Shabbos afternoon. So he was very, those who know Avram from the CD, Levavos, he's a very, very lively individual. So he... like Simcha, it's like the older version of Simcha. That's the same personality. So whenever he would get to something in the Gemara, and he would get like frustrated or something, couldn't get the right shot, so he would take his yarmulke, his black yarmulke, and he'd be like, 8, 9 years old, throw it down. I don't get it, I'm getting it. Throw it down onto the floor. It would become like a joke. He would pick it up and wipe it up. So when we were learning on Shabbos, every time we would do that, he would pick up the Yarmulke, and the Marsha Kolo floor wasn't exactly the cleanest place in the world, so he would pick it up, and it was all full of dust. So I said to him, Avram, you cannot remove the dust from the Yarmulke now on Shabbos. I'll stop doing that at least on Shabbos. So he'd say, why not? I said, well, Rashi holds, that's called Menar Taliso, and there are more Paskins that way. This was like a refrain for years and years. It was an ongoing joke. Every time something would get dusty on the floor of Marsha, he would always walk around that. My Rebbe, he would call me Rebbe Tzvi. He said, Rebbe Tzvi, what's Rebbe Willing? I don't know, still calls me Rebbe Tzvi because of that. He said, Rebbe Tzvi said, Rashi holds Tzasser, and there are more Paskins like Rashi. It's gone on for years, this joke of the dust. You have to fast forward the clock a couple of years. Before I met my wife, so one of our brothers was learning in Kerbi Avna, and he became friendly with Avram Willock. They were in Eretz Yisrael together that year. And one Shabbos, I think they all went to, my wife's brother invited Avram to join them for a Shabbos, I think my wife's grandparent, whatever it was, uncle, whatever it was, and my wife was there that Shabbos. So again, she was my wife yet, so the three of them were there for Shabbos. It's Avram, my brother-in-law to be, and my wife to be. And something dropped on the floor on Shabbos, and it got dusty. So Avram Willer, Kedaka B'Kedish, said, you're not allowed to wipe that off, not allowed to brush off the dust, because Rashi says that. So somebody asked, where's it? Well, that's a Rashi, Masech HaShabbos, Machlek is Rashi, Taisus, and the Ramos, Machmir, the whole Pismon that he had been saying for years and years. So somebody asked him, who told you this Rashi and the Ramah? So he said, who told me this? I'll tell the story the way it happened. He said, this guy Sabo told it to me. So that's what he used to call me. Sabo, Rebbe Tzvi, Rebbe Sabo told this to me. So who was that? So I said, Tzvi Sablovsky, never heard of him. So my wife's ears perked up because she had heard my name already. The suggestion had been made, but we hadn't yet met. So she wanted to know a little bit about who this guy was. I'll tell you. So I always say that was the first chumrah that my wife heard from me. We hadn't even met yet, and she already knew all about this chumrah of Rashi and the Ramah about that. There were many more to come as the years went on. Anyway, so that was the special Akaras HaTov to the Rashi and the Ramah. Getting back to that story. So Maisa, we pass in Halacha that the removing of the dust is potentially a problem. That even the biggest machmir, even Rashi and the Ramah, who are machmir for removing of the dust, we said removing of the stain. So removing of a stain is not really a problem, provided that you don't use a liquid. If you use a liquid, then you have a real problem of kibbutz. Removing of a stain without a liquid, because the stain is going to be left behind, so then may actually be mutter. Now, I use the word may because there may be other factors, maybe other potentially sum d'rabbanan that are thrown in, but at least with the raisa, if you have a stain on your clothing and you try just to push away with it, so then in terms of kibbutz, it is not going to be a real problem. Maybe other factors you have to cheshbon in, but in terms of real kibbutz, it's not going to be a problem. So it sounds like we just got a cooler. I mean, you take the coolers when they come. Very, 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 very small cooler. Very small window of opportunity of cooler. That you have a stain, and you're not using any liquid on it, and part of the stain is remaining behind anyway. So it sounds like, what could possibly be wrong? So come the Rishonim, and call from Rabbeinu Peretz, Rabbeinu Peretz, Rabbeinu Gedolia, Balei Tosfos. We have many of the Tosfos that we have are from Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz was involved in a lot of the compiling of the different sheets of Tosfos from the generations before him. So Rabbeinu Peretz is quoted by the Rishonim as saying that not so simple, that every time you remove a stain from a garment, you may have to be concerned with a totally different malacha. Possible malacha to be. It may be a malacha of tochein, maybe a malacha of grinding. Why is that very simple, says Rabbeinu Peretz? If the stain is not yet solidified, it's still a liquid, you spilled some chicken gravy onto your clothing, and you want to quickly remove it without using any water, without doing, no libun issues, you want to quickly remove the stain, and part of the stain is going to remain behind, so it's not really such a terrible libun issue, that's okay. But as soon as that stain sits there for a little while, if you wait till the mirrors are over, now it's caked on, so how are you going to remove it? You're going to start chipping away at it. That's an isser of teichin. Teichin means you take a big thing, and you break it into little things. That's called teichin. So I mean, a parent said, who would have, in a million years would have ever thought, every time you remove a stain, you have to first clear it in terms of libun, and then you have to clear it in terms of teichin. So comes the Taz and says, he's not so sure that teichin applies there. He says, not only is he not so sure, he says, you look at the other Rishonim, nobody says teichin. The Rambam quotes removing stains, and Taisa, all the Rishonim quote removing stains, the permissibility and the problems, is it libun, is it not libun, with water, without water. How come nobody, except for Rabbeinu Peretz, thought of this great idea that it's an issur of teichin? Says the Taz, you see from here, nobody believed this was teichin. So the question is, why not? It sounds like teichin to me. I'm taking a big thing, I'm breaking it into little things. Why is it not teichin? So comes the Taz and says, I'll tell you why it's not teichin. It's a throwback to the previous sugya. Remember in the last sugya, we learned about the person who's sticking the shmat, sticking the rag in and out of the barrel of wine. Remember the beginning of Masechus Ksubas, Hamisuch Raisa than Azaisa. At least in the yeshivas, that's how they pronounce it. I cannot tell you whether there's any resemblance to the correct pronunciation of that word, Masuch Raisa than Azaisa. So the person sticks the shmat in and out, in and out, in and out. Every time he puts it in and out, some of the wine squeezes out. Is that a problem? Is that not a problem? So Rashi said that's a problem. And Rashi learned it's a problem of schita, it's a disaster, it's begadim. So Tosfos quoted from Rabbi Natan that that's not schita, bechlal not schita. One of the reasons why Rabbi Natan said it's not schita, one of the many reasons why is, he said, is because it's halach le'ibud, because the wine is going to the garbage. The wine's not—you're not intending to collect this wine. The wine's just ending up on the floor. If the wine ends up back into the barrel, then you have to begin to discuss chita. But if the wine ends up on the floor, then there's nothing to worry about. Why is that? So Rabbi Natan held for one of two reasons. Rabbi Natan held because even though there's a potential malacha of dosh that's being involved, I'm doing a malacha of dosh of squeezing out a grape. So Rabbi Natan seems to say that, well, as long as it's holich l'ibud, that's not a problem. Either because maybe Rabbi Natan thought that was a psikreshid lo nichalei, my intent is not to squeeze out the garb, my intent is to stick the shmata into the barrel. The fact that inadvertently some of the wine's going to squeeze out, even though I know it's going to happen, it's a psikreshid. I can't hide behind the Hashem's camera, it's a psikreshid. But as we said already last week, be'arichas, it's a psikreshid lo nichalei. It's a psikresha that I'm doing A, I know B is going to happen, but I'm not particularly concerned, not particularly interested in B happening. We can hide behind psikresha lo nichle. Rabbi Natan shita was like the aruch, that's mutal legamri. That was one reason why Rabbi Natan permitted to stick the shmat in and out. Then other Rishonim said it a little bit more, a little bit fancier. They said, forget about the aruch, forget about psikresha lo nichle. It's mutar anyway. You know why it's mutar? Because that's the tzuras ha-malacha of disha. The tzur, the very essence of Malachas Disha is, it's got to be collected. It's got to be something that you're going to use. If you milk the cows and the milk goes onto the floor, the woman expresses the milk and it goes onto the floor. The person squeezes the grape onto the floor. The person squeezes the shmata onto the floor. As long as that wine, that juice, that beverage is not collecting, that's garnished. It's nishkin malacha altogether. Ein shem malacha, it's not called Malachas Disha. It's hard to know when you say that, when you don't say that, but some Rishonim said that, but that's Rabbi Natan. So we have two reasons why Sochet Le'ibud, at least according to Rabbi Natan, wasn't so bad. Comes to Taz and says, we can now extrapolate from that Rabbi Natan and make up a new klal. The new klal is called Toichen Le'ibud. Just as Rabbi Natan said, sticking the shmata in and having the juice fall right onto the ground rather than back onto the barrel. So that's all right. That doesn't bother us. That's Mutal L'Chadchila, Tzeichen Le'ibud. So too, when a person is quote-unquote, grinding up his stain, where are the pieces going? Pieces are going onto the garbage, they're going onto the floor, they're going onto the table, they're not collecting the pieces. A guy's collecting the pieces of caked on chicken grease and going to use them again. Chalei Tzadah says that. Obviously, he's cutting away it, grinding away in it, and it is going being discarded immediately. Says the Taz, Mali Seichet Le'ibud, Mali Teichet Le'ibud. It's a chiddush for the Taz. The question is, do we like that equation of the Taz? Are we comfortable with rejecting Rabbeinu Peretz? Is that the reason why Rabbeinu Peretz wasn't quoted? None of the other, the Taz is right, none of the other Rishonim quote this Rabbeinu Peretz. And we're trying to figure out why not. So the Taz is suggesting that maybe the reason why not is linked to Rabbeinu Tam's sheet about Sechel Ibud. So the question is, wait a second, is that really true? We have to go back to what we just said before. Why was Sechel Ibud mutter? So if Sechel Ibud was mutter because it's a psikreshid lo nichalei, and we're following the Aruch and Rabbeinu Tam, Psikreshid lo nichalei is mamish mutter lechatchila. So the Psikreshid lo nichalei applies by all the malachas. That's not limited to Disha, that's not limited to Schita. That can apply to Teichen, we can extrapolate to Teichen as well. So then the Taz is correct. Just as Rabbeinu Tam said, that if my kavana is to stick the Shemat in, and then you know, inadvertently, some of the juice is getting squeezed out, that's not my problem. That's a psikreshid lo nichalei. So could one argue that the same is true when it comes to the teichen? My goal is, this gets very, very tricky, my goal is to get the stain off. I'm really trying just to remove the stain. And I inadvertently, I'm grinding up the stain. So is that a psikreshid, and I don't really care about it. I'm not going to use it, I'm going to throw the pieces out anyway. Is that called a psikreshid lo nichalei? So I'm not so sure that equation is right. Said, by the shmata, they're really two different maisim. There's the putting in and out of a shmata. There's no malach involved in that. Then there's besides the putting in and out of the shmata, something else distinct is happening. The juice is squeezing out. And I'm not interested in that juice squeezing out, so we can hide behind psikreshid lo nichalei. Over here, where's the second mice exactly? There's one ma'isa. The ma'isa, the way you remove the stain of a chicken, or the caked on stain, is by breaking into little pieces. It's the same ma'isa. It's the exact same ma'isa. That's not a psik reish lo nichle. You have to be very, very careful before you invoke the terms psik reish lo nichle. Psik reish lo nichle is like the guy, I'm washing it till it's yadayim, and some of that water is now pouring onto the grass, and it's somebody else's grass that I don't care about. So according to the Aruch and Rabbeinu Tam, that's okay. I didn't say we hold that way, but that's the Aruch and Rabbeinu Tam hold, that's okay. Because there are two distinct ma'isim. Here, there's no distinct ma'isim. Here I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm doing an act of teichein. I'm doing an act of breaking up a big piece into little pieces. There's only one act here. What we should probably call this, rather than a psik reish lo nichle, we should probably label this as a malacha shen etzricha lagufa. That's a different principle altogether. Malacha shen etzricha lagufa means that I'm doing an action. There's only one action. There's no second ma'aseh. There's one action, but I'm doing it for a different purpose than was done in the Mishkan. So we give the classic example the Mishnah gives. I carry something outside to use it. That's a malacha deraisa. I carry something outside to remove it. I take the garbage out to get rid of the garbage. It's smelling, it's bothering me in the house. That's called the malacha she'en etzricha legufa. That would only be midirabbanan. A malacha she'en etzricha legufa is one ma'isa. It's one ma'isa of carrying, albeit for a different purpose. That's not a psik reish lo nichle. Psik reish lo nichle means that it's two different ma'isim. I'm doing ma'isa X, and ma'isa Y is taking place, and I don't care about ma'isa Y happening. This case of teichen, when I'm chopping up the pieces of caked on food on my shirt, it's hard to call that a psik reish lo nichle. Probably the more correct thing to call that is the malacha she'en etzricha legufa. Namely, I'm doing an act of teichen, but whereas in the Mishkan the act of teichen was done for a specific purpose to use the item that's being nitchan, here I'm doing teichen not for the purpose of using the item that's being nitchan. So I wouldn't hide behind psik reish lo nichle. I would hide behind malacha she'en etzricha legufa. The only problem is, malach shen tzichuv is still also midrabanan. So it's not going to be matter. It's not going to help it. So I'm not so sure. I'm a little bit weary to jump from seichid li'ibud to tochen li'ibud. The metzias may not be the same.
But why can you say that? You're just trying to remove this thing. You're not trying to grind it up.
Right, so that, but the question is, can we really break it down to two actions? That's the question. It's not the same as the shmat, the putting in a shmat in and out of a barrel is one distinct ma'isa. Sometimes there's wine in it, sometimes there's no wine in it.
The psik reish case is cutting off the head of the chicken, that's one ma'isa.
So that's true. No, the cutting off the head is one thing, the killing of the chicken is something else. The fact that the chicken is dying, that's a separate and distinct mice. It happens to be that every time we cut off the head, the chicken dies. That's exactly why it's called psik reish. So you could break it down to two components. Here, there's really one action. There are different intents. There are different kavanas. But, I mean, kavanas, different machshavas, different goals. Different goals, that's a malach shen etzricha legufa category, not a davar shen miskaven. Not a psik reish lo nichle. But maybe we could salvage the taz based on the second half of Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe the reason why Rabbeinu Tam permitted the soch of the ibud was because ain shem malacha Allah. There's nishkin malacha. Anytime the malacha of disha is violated without the intent of using it, that's not called the shem malacha altogether. We saw this svara countless times back when we learned disha. We spoke about the Chazanish's eights about milking the cows and throwing out the milk. The women were having trouble nursing to pump the milk and discard the milk. We saw this whole idea in Rishonim, Rabbi Natam said it, according to some, Rabbi Natam himself said it, that Seichet le'ibud, Disha le'ibud is Nishke Melach altogether. So maybe we have a right to extrapolate and say, just as Rabbi Natam said, Disha le'ibud, Seichet le'ibud is nothing, so to Teichet le'ibud is nothing. We don't have to hide behind Psik reish lo nichle and get mixed up and confused when Melach Shen Tzich Leguf is one Maises, two Maises. We can invoke a totally different head to go down a different path, the path of it's not called the Melacha altogether. The only problem is, once you're in that very, very vague category called, it's not called the Melacha, how do you know which Melachas are not called Melachas? Just because you're lacking in Kavana? Would you say, a bishul to Ibud is not called Bishul? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I have no idea. A person cooks an egg and throws the egg into the garbage. That's not called Bishul? I don't know. I'm not sure that's not called Bishul. A person carries something and throws it into the garbage. That's not called Hotzah. Maybe it's Moshe Tzvich Lagufa, but they say it's not called Hotzah. Who says? So just to make this a blanket statement, the malach is not being done the tzorach, therefore it's not a malacha. That's a very, very, very difficult hagdar to give. You have to be a Rabbeinu Tam to say that. Rabbeinu Tam said it by Disha. We have a right to compare it to other malachas and forget. We're not even sure Rabbeinu Tam was right. We're not even sure Rabbeinu Tam said it. We didn't even know why Rabbeinu Tam was mata in the case of the Shemata. Maybe it was mata based on psik reish lo nichle. So that's a very, very big question mark to say that such a category even exists by Disha altogether, and it's even greater. It's a sveik sveik l'chumra. We're not even sure that such a category exists by Disha, and we're for sure not sure that we have a right to extrapolate it to other malachas. So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure what to do with this taz. I mean, somehow, our gut feeling is Rabbi Peretz is a daas yachid. We don't find the other Rishonim asering the removing of the caked on the stains. We never found anybody else who said it's asar, but we can't quite put our finger on why it's not asar. Why isn't it a problem of toichin? Rabbi Peretz set up this chumra of toichin, and we're trying to figure out why probably nobody else held that way. So the Taz took us down the route of Seichet Le'ibud. We're not sure that's the route we want to go down to, because first of all, it was so confusing. It took us 2 weeks to learn the Sikh of Seichet Le'ibud, and we weren't even sure we had Paskin like Seichet Le'ibud in the first place. And we're sure not comfortable necessarily carrying it over to other malachas. And to go down the route of Dover of Segregation of Nichale, first of all, the Aruch and Rabbi Tam with Das Yochids in that, and we're not even sure that model is even correct over here. So we have a lot of problems comparing it to Sechad Ibu. That's probably not the way we want to go. Is there any other way to go? So the answer is we would probably have to go out of the Sugya of Libun and back to the Sugyas of Teichin, which would take us back about a year and a half or so to when we discussed Be'arichos last year, some of the sugyas of Tochein, to try to get a little bit remember a little bit about some of the klum of Tochein to figure out why Rabbi Peretz was comfortable applying Tochein and why probably all the other Rishonim didn't accept Tochein. So hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow, we have to take a little bit of a break from Liban, go back to Tochein a little bit, and then eventually come back from Tochein back to Liban to understand why the removing of stains should or should not be a problem of Tochein. Okay.